From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, January 7th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Governor Janet Mills has proposed a major bill designed to help prepare Maine for future extreme weather made worse by climate change. And as Peter McGuire reports, the measure is getting bipartisan support in the State House.
The proposal includes $15 million to help homeowners safeguard their properties. It also boosts Maine's emergency management services as well as emergency communications and aids local government infrastructure projects. And it would fund assistance in updating outdated flood maps and getting more people flood insurance. Back-to-back storms last winter devastated parts of coastal and inland Maine. Hannah Pingree, head of the Governor's Office of Policy Innovation and the Future, says the storms were a wake-up call of the state's vulnerabilities to extreme weather.
Major storms know no partisan boundaries, and I would say folks on both sides of the aisle understand that Maine needs to do more to prepare and to support communities as they recover.
The bill, LD1, has already been endorsed by Democrat and Republican leaders in the House and Senate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Governor Janet Mills is also expected to release a 2-year budget proposal on Friday that is, quote, lean in nature as the state faces financial headwinds. Kevin Miller reports.
After years of budget surpluses, Maine is looking at an estimated $450 million gap between how much revenue the state anticipates taking in and how much it is slated to spend over the next biennium. But that's not the only math problem facing lawmakers as the session begins on Wednesday. They will also have to deal with a nearly $120 million shortfall in the state's Medicaid program before June 30th. Those are some of the, quote, significant budget constraints that Finance Commissioner Kirsten Figueroa cited on Tuesday in a memo to lawmakers. Figueroa describes Governor Mills' budget proposal as lean, and she warns that lawmakers will have to make difficult decisions about reduced spending and finding additional revenues, other than new income taxes. At the same time, Figueroa says Mills wants to continue funding 55% of K-12 education, providing free community college to recent high school grads, and sending 5% of tax revenues back to municipalities. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
In his annual State of the City address last night, Portland Mayor Mark Dion called on legislators to secure more state funding to help the city tackle homelessness. Dion says Portland provided shelter beds to 2,000 people last year. And he says on average, more than 600 people are staying in the 3 municipal shelters each night.
We are running out of runway to meet the demand. We are running out of space. Our staff is stretched too thin, and we cannot expect our taxpayers to continue to shoulder the financial burden involved in providing these services where half of the unhoused come from outside the city.
Dion also asked the city council to review Portland's inclusionary zoning rules known as the Green New Deal, which require developers to set aside 10% of units in a project for affordable housing or pay a fee. The 2 religious schools challenging Maine's restrictions on public tuition funding made their latest arguments today in a federal appeals court. Caitlin Bedayan has more.
Some of the arguments at the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston compared the rules for in-state religious schools to those for out-of-state schools that use Maine students' public tuition funds. Out-of-state schools are not subject to the Maine Human Rights Act, which prevents discrimination on the basis of religion, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Adele Keim represents St. Dominic Academy in Auburn and a Maine family. She argues religious schools in Maine are being treated differently than out-of-state secular schools, and families are being harmed.
Many of these families have very limited means. We have parents who are working 3 jobs to send their kids to St. Dom's, and they are entitled to the state's benefit, and the state is just playing this game in court.
But Chief Deputy Attorney General Christopher Taub countered that the only reason out-of-state schools are not subject to the anti-discrimination law is that the state does not have geographic jurisdiction. Taub added that of the 4,500 students that use the state tuition program, only a few attend schools out of state. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
A cooperative of fishermen known as Lobster 207 says it has reached a $5 million statement in a years-long case against its former CEO, Warren Pettigrew, and his family members. The cooperative sued Pettigrew and his parents 5 years ago, alleging they submitted fraudulent invoices, embezzled funds, and stole products that were then sold to Lobster 207 members at a premium. Lobster 207 CEO Michael Yeo says the case was initially set to go to trial, with jury selection scheduled for this week. But he says the co-op is relieved that the litigation is over.
We were prepared for a trial. It appears that we don't have to do that. You know, I believe that though it's over, it's just a new start for us.
The Maine Lobstering Union, a division of the International Machinists Union, affiliated with the Lobster 207 co-op nearly 8 years ago. Union officials say that much of the settlement money will cover the cost of litigation. In a written statement, an attorney for the Pettigrews said the family vehemently denies the allegations, but agreed to the settlement to avoid the uncertainties of ongoing litigation. A new report finds that Maine's Office of Child Welfare Services faces ongoing challenges in caring for children in state custody, but is also taking steps to improve its operations. The Child Welfare Services Ombudsman, tasked with reviewing the office's work, says staff continue operating under, quote, enormous pressure, in part due to a lack of behavioral health and legal services for families. Office Director Bobby Johnson says the state, the legal system, hospitals, and mental health providers must work together to address those issues.
A lot of, I think, the issues that are facing families are going to require some innovative solutions that we need to come together to develop and implement.
The report did point to signs of improvement, including structural changes that are putting the office on, quote, the right path. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, personal finance advice for the new year. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.